Let's get back to Abraham. What shall we say our father Abraham has found? That's where we started. That's the inspiration for. It's not really a series, you know. I don't know if I do series as yet. I haven't been doing this long enough to figure that out. But nevertheless, Romans 4, but we're actually in Genesis, because Abraham found some things in his life, and his life was a journey, and we see the journeys of Abraham. Abraham found some things, and I like to know what Abraham found. He found a lot of things, and we find some things, but we have to relate our life to the Word of God. That is to say, the Word of God should be influencing our life, should be directing our life, should be causing increase in our life. So the Word of God is important to us, because we know that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's where your life comes from. My life comes from the Word of God. And so we conform ourselves to the Word of God, and we're working on it. You know, this is a life study. This is not like, you know, mixing your coffee in the morning. It's not like pour a little this in, or maybe you like it black, pot to mug, and that's it for you. God bless you if you can do that. But anyway, so here we were in chapter 16. Actually, we're in 17, but just as a brief review, you know, Abraham is journeying throughout the land of Canaan before it was really popular about this is the promised land, but it was promised to Abraham. He discovers Abraham, a man of faith, a man who would be obedient to the Word of God. There's a lot of things that we find in the life of Abraham that bring us to that place. So where we left was the angel of the Lord found Hagar, you know, in the wilderness by the spring, and told her, go back and submit yourself to Sarai. Back and submit yourself to her. So we're moving on past there. The angel visited her, and she had a child, and you know, these are all in the history, and you have a history. There's things in your life that sprung up along the way, some blessings, some God-given things, ordained things, destiny things happen in your life, and then you made some mistakes. And we do that sometimes. We make some mistakes. And God doesn't, it's not like you're not accountable for them, or something doesn't happen wrongly in them, because it certainly did in Abraham's life, and it certainly is going to in our life. And so we have to stop doing that. Do that less as we move along in our Christian life. Do that less. Oh, I got angry, you know, or whatever. I got frustrated. I became impatient. I lost my peace. Do that less. Hold fast to the peace of God. Hold fast to your righteousness. So here in at the end of the chapter 16, it says, Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. Well, Ishmael wasn't the promise. We've already figured that out. So he's been wandering for 10 years. Now, his lifespan was obviously longer than ours at this particular time in history. You know, he lived to be 175 years old. You know, I'm not going to live that long. So moving on from there, we come here, an important part. We want to call this chapter, you know, the Abrahamic covenant. What is this? What is this covenant? And it's not really my message, but it is important. Moving forward in Scripture, you got to kind of lay hold of this, because this is important. So now when Abraham was 99 years old, well, we just left the last verse of the other chapter. He was 86 years old. So just from passing from one chapter to the next, time's moving. Pay attention to that in Scripture, how time moves in Scripture. Okay? It's just important for you to not lose perspective of the storyline. Abraham was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abraham, said to him, I am God Almighty. Who's there? I am God Almighty. That's what an introduction. You open the door. Here he is. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm talking New Testament here. Behold, I stand at the door and the knock. Open the door. Let him come in. I am God Almighty, he says. Walk before me and be blameless. Now, this is kind of like he's really straightforward about what this is going to mean now. What this relationship is going to mean. Oh, I'm saved. There's something required. You know, and maybe we just don't look at it like it's a commandment. But there's something in this relationship. You know, when you get married, faithfulness is required. It's absolutely required. Absolutely. And other things. Okay. So here it is. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. He's already told him this over 15 years ago. He was going to bless him. But now there's some requirements here. Walk before me. Abraham fell on his face and talked with him, saying, as for me, behold my covenant. This is God talking. Abraham is listening. God is speaking. Abraham is listening. Behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be a father of multitudes of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I don't want to dwell up on that too much, but changing his name, changing his identification with being fatherless and not having any children, this is going to be important that he drills this into his spirit night and day. You're a Christian. You're a believer. Drill it into your spirit every day. This is who you are. You belong to him. You don't belong to the world. Drill it in your spirit every day. This is who you are. I will establish my covenant between... Let me back up a little bit. From nations. I've made you a father of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you. I will make nations of you. I will make nations of you. This is what Abraham meant. And kings will come forth from you. Now, you know the end of the story. You're 5,000-6,000 years. You're down the historical road. So you're looking at this totally differently than what he did. Totally different. What? You make kings of me. What's that mean? Well, for you, you understand it. Because he's really, 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 really talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's really talking. When you look at the scripture, you look for Jesus. Always look for Jesus. It's the secret to understanding it. You're looking for Jesus. I'll make kings of you. I'll make nations of you. And they will come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. All the wanderings, all the things that's going to happen in a couple of generations are going to start to make sense just on this statement that God is making to him in the 17th chapter of Genesis. I'll be your God to you and your descendants after you. I will give to you and your descendants after you the land of your sojournings. Everywhere that Abraham's walking around and moving around, he's going to give it to him all. He's just going to give it to him. I will give it to you and your descendants after you. And it says, for the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said further to Abraham, now as for you, you shall keep my covenant. See, there's an increase here of this relationship. You know, I don't go into that. Sorry, got distracted for a second. I was thinking about dating and stuff like that. There's an increase of expectations in the relationship. You know, exclusivity. You know, you can't have another God. Have no other gods before me. But that's not stated yet. See, that won't be later. But there's an expectation for it here. We'll see how it builds. This is my covenant. Verse 10. This is why this is important. Which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Here it is. Ready? Every male among you shall be circumcised. This is going to be important. I'll declare that in just a second. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins. You ladies lucked out on that. And it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. This will be the sign. You'll see this every day. You'll notice this every day. Now, I'm not trying to pull the microscope down and just define what that means. You know, maybe a medical doctor would be better off to explain this for me. But we, guys, we know what that means, right? We know what that means. Well, this is going to be such a significant point in their life, and I'm going to tie this into where I live as soon as we go a little bit farther here. Because when Moses, this is 450 years from now, when Moses is sojourning in Midian, and he marries the priestess, and he has children, and then he sees the burning bush. This is the short part of the story. He sees the burning bush and he says, "What's that? That bush is burning, but it's not going away." And he goes and the Lord says, "Take your shoes off your feet." He gets called back to be a deliverer. The calling on his life is activated. This is what you are. The anointing is activated on his life to be, for the moment of time, for his life, to be the deliverer of this nations of people, all the sons of Jacob that are living in Egypt, he's going to go back and deliver them. So as he's journeying with his wife and kids, the Lord appears to him and he's going to put him to death. And you wonder why. This is why you have to circumcise your children. That was what was important, and that was the rub between him and his wife. But you have to do that. This is the covenant. So as we go through here, it says, "Every male among you who is 8 days old and circumcised throughout your generations," that becomes important in the opening of the Gospels of Jesus Christ. The opening. Jesus is taken to the temple on the 8th day, remember, to circumcise him. A servant who is born in your house or who is bought with money, any foreigner who is not descendant, a servant who is born in your house who is bought with money shall be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh and an everlasting covenant. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off his people from his people. He has broken my covenant. Broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, "Sarai, your wife, you shall call her Sarah. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her." This is the blessed promise that was going to come to Abraham and Sarah. This is moving forward. What shall we say Abraham, our forefather, has found? He's found a God who was going to be on his behalf, walk with him, connect with him, have a covenant with him. Earlier he said, "How shall I know this will be?" Well, he made a sacrifice. How shall we know this shall be for our life? God made a sacrifice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham made a sacrifice. And he laid it out. And here comes the fire from heaven. And like an oven. And it consumed the sacrifice. And the sacrifice went to heaven for us. And he ever lives to make intercession for us. There's a connection between this and what happened with us in the New Testament. Then Abraham fell on his face and he laughed. And said in his heart, "Will a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? Will a How can this happen?" This is the fantastic part. Everything he was doing in the flesh earlier in his life really doesn't come to achieve the outcome that God had planned. The outcome that God had planned was He was going to bring salvation. He was going to bring increase to Abraham's life. He was going to bring him a son by miracle power. It was going to be foreshadowing of the bringing of Christ into the world. a foreshadowing of that. Here we see it way early in Genesis, what God was going to do. Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child. Shall she bear a child? Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." He's still thinking in the natural. And isn't that some of our problem? What shall we say Abraham has found? Well, what he's going to find is the more he thinks in the natural, the more confused it seems to get moving forward with what God's plan is for your life and my life. The more you think in the natural, the more confused your life will be. But when you connect up with God and you say, listen to him, Abraham's listening to him, saying, laying out the plan for him, what it was to be, he still wasn't connected yet, but he was close. Ishmael, I've heard, I will bless him. Let me back up here. Verse 19. But Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him, an everlasting covenant for the descendants after him. For as for Ishmael, I've heard you. What about my son Ishmael? I've heard you. Behold, I will bless him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. Now, let's not get, if we really understand this in New Testament light, the plan of salvation of the world wasn't coming through Ishmael. Was not. But that doesn't mean God doesn't care. He's going to bless Ishmael. And it's going to later become an analogy of, okay, this was your works. This is how you accomplished something in the flesh. You got something done. But then it comes back to persecute you. Because the works of the flesh will never achieve the righteousness of God. It just doesn't. And this is the picture we're seeing. So what shall we say Abraham, our forefather, has found? What shall we say he's found? He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah bare to you at this season next year. Now, the guys didn't come down the road yet. That's coming up. Hang tight. When he finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. God went up from Abraham. Those are little mysteries that, what did that look like when he was there talking with Abraham? I don't know what that looked like, but I'll just let it to your imagination, because you're not building a doctrine out of that. You just know that he was meeting with Abraham in whatever way he was. Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all the servants who were born with him, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's household, he circumcised in the flesh of their foreskin that very same day. Here's what we learn about Abraham. What shall we say our father Abraham has found? It's good to be obedient to the voice of God when you hear it. I think we see that. So if we're looking for that, if that's my message, what did Abraham find out? He found out that he had to act on the word of God that he hears. Sometimes he's a little delayed in it, but he's getting better at it. Hopefully we're getting better at it. When the voice of the Lord comes to you and says something, you go do it. That very same day, now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. The very same day Abraham was circumcised, Ishmael, his son, all the men of his household, that all happened on the same day. The spiritual analogy is, if you want to begin to walk in the Spirit of God, you're going to have to cut away some flesh somewhere. You're going to have to cut away some flesh that's according to the covenant. God's covenant with you is in your spirit. And that's where you're connecting with God. And some flesh needs to go away. That's what holds us up a lot, isn't it now? Flesh does hold us up a lot. And the training of our forefathers, what he learned from his daddy as he was going, remember, he's on a journey just like you and I are. And some of those things have to go away. Because our Father who's in heaven is instructing us. And he's leading us and guiding us. Now the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre. Chapter 18. What does that look like? Not really sure. while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day, when he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite of him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent to the door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. Abraham has learned how to recognize these things. Some people do not recognize when they're in a spiritual moment. That's a good thing to learn. And since that's my message, what shall we say Abraham, our forefather, has found? He found out how to recognize when things are in spirit and not. He's growing in this now. He's 99 now. When we first started this message, he was 75, and now he's 99. And he's going to live to be 175, and there's a lot more things that he's going to learn until then. So here he is. Please let me take a little water, be broad, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under this tree, and I'll bring a piece of bread, and you may refresh yourself. After that, you might go, since you have visited your servant. Abraham wanted to be a blessing to these sojourners who have come to him. He recognizes them in a different way than maybe you or I have. It was, to me, I'm not making a doctrine, don't throw a shoe at me, please. I say that the one servant was a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, Lord and Master, and the other two were angels that were coming with him because they were on a mission. So keep that as a thought, and, you know, don't persecute me because there's no way you can prove one way or another whether that's the case. But we see from time to time, what about when the angel of the Lord came down in the time of the judges and he visited with Manoah and he said, he told her she was going to have a son and he was going to be a deliverer and Samson was born. But before that happened, she said to her husband, oh, an angel visited me, said I was going to have, you know, this is a paraphrase part of the story. Well, how come he saw you and met with you and didn't come to me? Next time you see him, you come and get me. Well, as it happened, angel of the Lord appeared again, and she went and got him. So he came out, and they wanted to make a sacrifice for this angel of the Lord that had come down, the book of Judges. This is the time that Samson was going to deliver Israel, right? So he says to him, well, what's your name? Anybody remember what he said? My name's too wonderful for you. Pre-incarnate Christ is all I'm making a point. That there's been visitations. Visitations of the Lord here. So this is just one of those times. Abraham hurried to his tent. Sarah, quickly prepare 3 measures of fine flour. Now, you ladies will know better than me. I'm no cook. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. I barely can make macaroni and cheese, I think. Quick, boil water. Put it in the pot. Never mind. So Abraham hurried to the tent. 3 measures of flour. Knead it. Bake bread. How long does that take? In our day with modern ovens. Abraham also ran to the herd, took a tender and choice calf, gave it to his servants. He said, hurry, prepare it. And he took curds and milk and of a calf, and he prepared it and placed it before them. And he was sitting by them under the tree as they ate. To me, that took all day. I'm just thinking. I know how long it takes to flip burgers out on the grill. Easy, you know, but a whole calf, you know, to cook a whole calf and to knead dough and prepare it for these people who had come and visit him. Then they said, where's Sarah, your wife? There in the tent, he said, he surely returned to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Here's the promise. God came down, visited him. The angels are on a mission. We're going to get to that. But it's about Abraham here. He saw them and he recognized them. He's grown in his spirit, man. And he knows who these people are. And he wants to bless these people. Because that's what Abraham does. He blesses. Sarah was listening at the tent door and was behind. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. Sarah was past childbearing. Sarah laughed. to yourself, saying, after all, I've become old. Shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she laugh? Shall I indeed bear a child when I'm old? Here's such an important spiritual principle that's carried into the New Testament. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is anything? Doesn't this challenge our life all the time? Is anything too difficult, Steve? Anything. Anything. When you face trial and trouble, when you face temptations and the issues of life at work, at home, is anything too difficult for the Lord? That little phrase just thrown in there ought to wake us up in things. At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. That's the word of the Lord. You shall be healed. You shall be blessed. There's an appointed time for these things. So Sarah denied it, however. I didn't laugh. Oh, but you did. He doesn't let us get away with that stuff. Oh, but you did. Then the men rose up from there and they looked down towards Sodom. Okay, the story's now starting to develop. And we're looking for things that Abraham had found. And Abraham was walking with them, sending them off. Get the picture of this in your head. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham? This is important in Scripture. This is how God relates to Abraham, how God relates to you. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? See, that's the thing. People think that he hides things. God hides things. Life just sneaks up. Well, if you're in the spirit, you hear. But if you're in the flesh, you don't. And that's life lesson. What should we say Abraham, our father, has found? He's about to tell him the story. The Lord said, shall I hide it from Abraham? Since Abraham will surely become a great nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed, this blessing continues to come out of the mouth of the Lord, out of the mouth of the angels. This is what's happening. For I've chosen him. Are you chosen? Yes. Yes and amen. I am chosen. So that he may command his children and his household after them to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him, so that he might bring it about. Let me read it again. I don't want you to miss it. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children. These are things that are required of us. And his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that you do righteousness, you do justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. The so that is really important in there. Moving on, the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. See, the sin cries out. The outcry. There's an outcry of wickedness and perversion. Wickedness and perversion and unrighteousness and injustice has a voice. And it cries out from a land. You can accept that or reject that. That's fine. It cries out. I believe it does. That's our deep concern and our heart's intercession for the land we live in. Because we think that's just for Sodom and Gomorrah and it's not for America. I got news for you. There's no injustice with God. There's no partiality with God. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me. And if not, I'm going to know it. If it's not there, I'm going to know it. Is there righteousness in the land and do you know it? Is there injustice in the land and you know it? Come on, we got to open our eyes. We have to open our ears. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. The men, two of them, while Abraham was still standing before the Lord. Abraham came near and said, will you indeed sweep away? There's a lot in here, spiritual insights in here, relative to the second coming, relative to judgment, relative to God just judging a land before the great judgment, because we see that in history as you move through here. He judged all these different nations, various nations throughout Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. We see the history and the story of how God dealt with nations. You know, how he dealt with Nineveh, how he dealt with, oh, just so many. There's just so many. Will you sweep them away? And now this is this great, what do you call that, debate between God and with, what do you call that, Shane, when you say, well, for 50, for 40, for 30? Bargaining. Thank you. Thank you for that word, Katie. This bargaining, and you know, sometimes we want to like put a big emphasis on that. Not so much me, but because I'm going to try to figure out, okay, what did Abraham found that he can bargain with God? Is that a good lesson to learn? But he did. But he interceded on their behalf. And he was hoping that if there was just 10 and this Lot and his wife, and you know, that's half of them there, and his two daughters. I don't know if he stayed in contact with him. Anyway, they departed, and this bargaining happened. So now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening when Lot was, and this chapter isn't so much devoted. So you kind of know this story. It's not so much devoted to Abraham, so we're going to kind of go through this. Let me look at verse 13. For we're about to destroy this place because their outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Lord, we don't get that far in this land. Just saying. You think God is different now than he was then? He is not. On both ends of the scale. This is the ever merciful, ever long suffering God here in the Old Testament as we know him today to be. So I'm not drawing any distinction in how the Father behaves, how he acts and reacts to things. He's given these people plenty of time. He sent the servant Lot down there, who was probably a preacher of righteousness, and they didn't like him very much. Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws, who were to marry his daughters, and said, get up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he appeared to his son-in-laws as just, I'm just kidding. I'm just jesting. We're not kidding, America. We're telling you the truth that there is a creator and a God who judges righteously, who's watching us. And that this land would fulfill its destiny. Why are we here? God raises nations up and he brings nations down. When we understand that with the living God, he raised us up for a purpose, that we live this destiny and this purpose to preach the gospel, to finance the gospel, to send the gospel around the world. These are the things our nation should be doing. And it's not. When morning dawned, the angel urged Lot, saying, up, up. Take your wife, your two daughters that are here. You'll be swept away with the punishment of the city. But he hesitated. That's not a good thing. No, I'm getting a little off on my message, but I know where I'm going. In my spirit, I know we're trying to find the things Abraham had found. But this is a really important part of this story, because Abraham was connected now to this through intercessions. And we see his intercessions were effective to bring his nephew out of this dark place. We can be effective in our prayer and bringing people out from a dark place and rescuing them and their life. So they went out, took his two daughters, for the compassion, this is what it says in verse 16, the compassion of the Lord was upon him, and they brought him out and put him aside of the city, outside the city. The story develops, you know, with his daughters. We see things that we would not approve of, obviously, but they're here. What are you going to do with it? It's here. What are you going to do with it? Thus it came about when God destroyed the cities of the valley that God remembered Abraham. And God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out in the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities which Lot lived in. He probably conducted business in the other cities around. Sodom and Gomorrah was completely destroyed because of their sin. So he goes into the mountains where he feels he's going to be safe. He goes into a cave. The two daughters are wondering again, flesh and spirit. Are you walking in the flesh? Are you walking in spirit? They were concerned about their future. Their boyfriends, their other half, the ones that they were going to marry, were caught up in the flames and the destruction down in the city. And now they don't have anybody anymore. So the temptation came. Let's get our father drunk. This is a sad story, honestly. It's a sad story. But what came out of it? This is what I want you to see, because moving ahead in the story of the nations and the children of Israel, this becomes a problem. Walking in the flesh becomes a problem for all of us. It was a problem for Abraham, and it can be a problem for us. We have to learn. We have to learn lessons. And the Word of God teaches us many of these lessons. Verse 37, the firstborn, a son called the name Moab. Moab is going to become a problem to the nation of Israel. The second one is Ammon. He's going to become a problem and a great nation. The Moabites, the Ammonites, all became great nations. All sons of Lot became great nations and became a problem to Israel as they moved forward. So, chapter 20, it begins to continue the story with Abraham and Sarah. She's where he goes to another land. He's continuing to sojourn. Remember, he's on a journey. You're on a journey. These are the connections we have. About your journey, it's important. What is it about our journey? We encounter different scenarios, different situations. Do we seek God in them? Do we walk in the spirit in them, or do we walk in the flesh? Well, here we go. Abraham does this again. He gets to Abimelech the king, and he says to Sarah again, here, he gives his wife away the second time. So, you know, sometimes we don't learn our lesson the first time. We encounter troubles and trials and tribulations. Sometimes we have to go through it again. And that's a sad day. Hopefully you recognize it a little bit better. But here he goes. But God came to Abimelech. I'm in verse 3. In a dream of the night. See, Pharaoh didn't get a dream of the night. But this guy did. God's turning it up a little bit here. And said, behold, thank God he doesn't come, has never come to me and said that. Behold, you're a dead man. God said this to him. Behold, you're a dead man because of the woman whom you've taken, for she is married. Now Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay this nation even though I'm blameless? Well, you're not really. You did take her, didn't you? Because you're blameless? Did he not himself say that she's my sister? Didn't he say that? He's really backpedaling here. He's trying to get out of this. Then the Lord said to him in the dream, yes, I know that your integrity of your heart has done this. And also, I also kept you from sinning against me. You know, God can do that. He can keep you. I thank God. It's personal, you know. It's personal to you. Look back and reflect how many times the Lord has kept you. Maybe from a rose bush. Never mind, that has a history in it. He's kept you from problems and sin. He's kept you because the outcome would not have been favorable. It wouldn't have been favorable for a plan in your life. God's ordained pathway that you're walking. And he kept you out of it. He kept you from that. He kept you from sinning against him. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife. He's a prophet. Abraham is called a prophet. And he will pray for you that you will live. But if you do not restore her, know that you'll surely die, you and all of yours. So he does. He blesses him. They make a covenant together as it's going down through here. Let me read verse 17. Abraham prayed to God. You know, this is all really positive. It turns out all positive, even though it looked really bad. It looks really bad for Abraham, for Sarah again. What's going on in her mind? He did this again. I can't imagine what she's thinking, what she's saying. Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maids so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed fast all their wombs in the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And so I hear stories like this sometimes. Brother Ema used to talk about different stories where the Lord told him when he was getting ready to build a medical facility, a hospital and a clinic area, the Lord told him that that land was his. That land was his. And he prayed about it, and he went and he made an offer to this guy, and he wouldn't sell him to land. He said, you need to sell him to land. He had a friend that knew Brother Ema and said, brother, you need, believe me, you need to sell him this land. Well, he was a businessman, and all his businesses began to crumble, and it nearly bankrupted him. And the guy kept coming and telling him, you need to sell him this land for this price. And finally, the guy sold him the land. Ema prayed for him. And his business blew up and restored to him everything. Brother Ema got the land, and they built a medical facility on the property. Testimonies like this. When a man of God is with you, do not stand in that way. You come and you bless the man of God. There's a blessing on his life, a calling on his life. Don't hinder it. Don't stick your foot out. Try to trip him up. That's not good. These are the things Abraham has found. We'll continue on with this maybe. Believing. Thank you, Lord.